The following contains language that may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ariel Helwani's MMA Show!
Back in your life on this Wednesday, September 16, 2020. Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to the show. Hope you're doing well. And as always, we are presented by Modelo. Modelo Especial. Brewed for those with a fighting spirit. And my friends, we got a great Helwani show lined up for all of you today. I am very excited about today's show. Not only will we be talking to one half of the UFC 253 main event, which of course goes down next Saturday, September 26th, in Abu Dhabi, on Fight Island. We'll be talking to the reigning defending UFC middleweight champion, the one and only Israel Adesanya. It's always great to talk to him. And this is a very interesting Izzy that we talked to this week. A calm, cool, and collected, relaxed, dare I say, reflective Izzy. Not very hyped up, but it made for a fascinating chat. So I really hope you enjoy it as much as I did. We'll also talk to one half of the co-main event on the same card, UFC 253, next Saturday night, Jan Błachowicz, who of course goes up against Dominic Reyes for the vacant light heavyweight title. John Jones vacated the title. We've talked about this ad nauseum. So the pride of Poland is on his way to Abu Dhabi, and he'll be fighting for that title. We'll talk to him about that. But we will also be going to the NBA bubble in Orlando, Florida, to be exact. And we'll be talking to the starting point guard for your Miami Heat, who, by the way, are in the Eastern Conference Finals right now. They're one of the last four teams remaining in the NBA playoffs. They're up 1-0 on the Boston Celtics. Had a tremendous game last night, which ended in an incredible block by Bam Adebayo and Jason Tatum. We're talking to Goran Dragic, who is a tremendous NBA player, a veteran of the league, has played for the Suns, the Rockets, the Heat, big part of their team, leading scorer last night, by the way, 29 points. And on top of all of that, I'm not just talking to him because I'm a big NBA guy, he is a massive MMA fan, huge MMA fan. So I'm really looking forward to talking to him about the sport, why he loves it, how long he's liked it, all that stuff and more. So stick around for that. You know I love those kinds of interviews. So we got a very eclectic, fun show planned for all of you today. But a lot of focus on next weekend's pay-per-view. Of course, we have to focus on this week's show as well. And on Saturday in Las Vegas, it is what I think is the best non-pay-per-view main card of 2020. It's the card headlined by Colby Covington versus Tyron Woodley. Also, the return of Donald Cowboy Cerrone going up against Nico Price, which is a very fun fight. For both guys, both fun styles. Of course, for Cerrone, lost his last four in a row, needs to get back on track. Price wins one, lose one, wins one, lose, but either gets knocked out or knocks people out. So that should be fun. The return of Khamzat Chimaev, which we talked about last week with his opponent, Gerald Merchart. Johnny Walker against Ryan Spahn is a fun fight as well. Mackenzie Dern against Randa Markos and Kevin Holland against Darren Stewart. Really fun main card. That's this Saturday in Las Vegas. And I can't wait for it. I can't believe after 2.5 years, we are finally getting Colby Covington versus Tyron Woodley. This is a fight that dates back to when, of course, Tyron Woodley was the welterweight champion. And Colby was a quote-unquote teammate at American Top Team. And all of a sudden, Colby started to come into his own with this heel persona that he now, you know, very much has adopted. And, you know, he started to call out the champ, Tyron Woodley. And at first we were all kind of surprised, like, these guys trained together. These guys, you know, there was a time when Tyron brought Colby to St. Louis to train with him, and they've trained together in Florida and whatnot. You're calling out your teammate versus teammate. This is going to divide American Top Team. But over time, it seemed like, you know, Colby doesn't really care about that sort of thing, and more power to him. And then he eventually, they tried to book him to fight after he beat Damian Maia. They tried to book him to fight against Tyron while Tyron was the champ, but that couldn't come to fruition. And that became a theme for this feud and this rivalry. So they had him fight Rafael Dos Anjos in Chicago for the interim belt. And I remember he beat him and he got on the mic. He said, "Tyrone, where are you at, Tyrone?" Showed up to the press conference with a bottle of water that said Tyron's tears on it. And he was just playing up the fight. And then they tried to book it in September of that year, 2018, in Dallas. and Colby had to have no surgery, and they thought that he was dragging his feet, so they got mad at him, and they booked him. They booked Tyron against Darren Till. We all know how that went. Then they tried to book him in January of the following year, but couldn't come to fruition. They ended up canceling that card. Then they tried to book him in March of the following year, 2019. Couldn't come to terms. So then they went with Kamaru Usman. Kamaru Usman wins, and then we thought we'd never get the fight. And on it went. We even tried to, you know, see, not we, but I wasn't a part of it, but they tried to book it a few months ago. Didn't come to fruition. But finally on Saturday, we are getting Colby Covington versus Tyron Woodley. I can't wait for it. It's a great fight. It's an important fight for both guys. Tyron needs to get back on track. Lost his last two in a row. Colby coming off the loss to Kamaru Usman. We haven't seen him in 2020. So a lot at stake here. I feel like this fight is going to be a referendum on Tyron's career, the state of his career. Can he get back on track? Can he be a player? Or is he just, you know, a stepping stone now? And for Colby, changing teams. First time he's not fighting under the ATT umbrella. He's been very quiet. I've sent him like 3-4 texts leading up to this fight. No reply. Ghosted me. Where is he at mentally? Who's his team? Who's his corner? We don't even know. So there's a lot of questions here. I'm looking forward to seeing how it plays out. So all of that is going on this Saturday. Also, earlier today, I reported the saga that is Dustin Poirier versus Tony Ferguson continues. UFC says that they are moving on. They are trying to book Tony Ferguson versus Michael Chandler, the former Bellator lightweight champion and the now free agent. They're close to a deal with Michael Chandler. They're the front runner to sign him. And he's the guy that Dana White has been talking about to replace Dustin Poirier. But that is not a done deal. And it sounds like Ferguson is kind of sticking to his guns on this one and wants to fight Poirier. So we're seeing some unity here with both guys. They really want to fight each other. Does that force the UFC to go back to the negotiation table, so to speak, and book that fight? I think that you'll have a top lightweight fight on that 254 card next month in Abu Dhabi, because you want, at least the UFC wants, to have a backup lightweight fight in case something happens to either Khabib Nurmagomedov or Justin Gaethje. Remember what happened, you know, going into 251 with Usman and Burns. So they want to have a top ranked lightweight fight. The original plan was Ferguson versus Poirier, Gaethje fighting Khabib. And if something happened to Gaethje, Ferguson would get bumped to the main. If something happened to Khabib, Poirier would get bumped to the main. Now, if they can't make that fight, they wanted to do Ferguson versus Chandler. And we don't know if that's going to happen. Do they even try to do Chandler Poirier at this point? Do they try to do Chandler versus Dan Hooker just to have a top ranked fight? I think Chandler ends up on the card if they sign him regardless, just so they can have a backup fight. I'd love to see the Ferguson Poirier fight and then Chandler fight someone like a Hooker or Felder. I think that's the most fair and what makes the most sense. So we'll see how it all plays out. Very much a developing, evolving situation. That's next month in Abu Dhabi. This month, though, in Abu Dhabi, the UFC returns next Saturday, September 26th. And the main event is Israel Adesanya against Paulo Costa, a fight that is a year or so in the making as well, and a fight that makes a little bit of history in its own right. It's just the second time in UFC history that two undefeated male fighters compete for the UFC undisputed title. First time was UFC 98, Rashad Evans against Lyoto Machida back in 2009. 11 years later, we get it for the second time, and we spoke to Israel today from Las Vegas as he gets set to go out to Abu Dhabi. Here is that very enlightening conversation. Let's kick things off today with the man who will be headlining UFC 253 on Saturday of next weekend in Abu Dhabi on Fight Island. He is the reigning defending UFC middleweight champion. He is the one and only, the last stylebender himself, Israel Adesanya. Izzy, how are you?
Very well, my man. What's up?
It's good to talk to you again. Would it be fair to say that this has been one of the more unique training camps of your entire fight career, just given the fact, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you had to spend most of the time leading up to this fight living at the gym in Auckland?
More unique training camps. One of, yes, but it just reminded me of China, the nostalgia of it, because I've done this with one of my teammates already in the past, living in the gym, training in the gym. And it was pretty unique, but I think it was a blessing in disguise.
Okay, so for those that don't know, my understanding is, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, lockdown in Auckland, so you guys decided as a team that you would live at the gym, at City Kickboxing, so that you can continue to train together. If that is correct, mm-hmm. How long did you actually have to do that? And where in fact did you guys sleep?
We did that for about 2 weeks, and we slept pretty much the upstairs is the jiu-jitsu mats. So we turned that into a makeshift marae, which is a living area in Tereo. What else? There's a few physio rooms that some of the boys stayed in as well. Like Kai likes a little bit of privacy, so he stayed in one of those. So did Eugene. Yeah, we spent about 2 weeks and a bit in the gym, just living there, breathing, and training. Yeah, so eat, sleep, train, repeat. That was the vibe.
Wow, and you couldn't leave?
We could go get groceries. We could go, you know, get like fast food. We went biking one day we went running. So you could leave, but it was, you had to have your bubble in a certain place. So instead of, you know, not being able to train or training at our own houses individually, we decided to bunker up together and train at the gym.
Wow. And how many guys total?
10. It was a maximum of 10.
Okay. And why did you like this?
Honestly, man, it's always the cliche thing to say, the best camp I've ever had. But like, for not just me, but for us four, I feel like it's the best I've ever seen everyone look. It's the best I've ever felt everyone. Some sparrings in the past, you know, some days you get in, you whoop everyone. Some days you get your licks. But the difference is like right now, I could go around with Brad and like, you don't know how that round would go. Like, it wasn't always like you're having a good sparring and having a bad sparring session. It was, each round was different. Even if the first round was good, the second round could be shit for me because everyone was getting that good and everyone was adapting so well. So we're all on form right now, man. It's crazy.
Wow. So it all comes together. But now you're in Vegas, so you have to stay there for 2 days and then you're going to fly to Abu Dhabi. Is that accurate?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. So this fight coming together and you guys fighting in Abu Dhabi, there was some talk that maybe it would happen in Vegas at the Apex. Now it's in Abu Dhabi. Do you like the fact that it's in the bigger cage as opposed to the smaller cage, or would you have preferred the smaller cage, or do you not care?
I don't care. I don't know why people like, it boggles me how like that's actually a factor in people's minds, because people keep forgetting about my kickboxing world title fight in like a small ass ring with corners, and I was still able to fight a guy that was just walking me down, throwing leg kicks and big hooks and stuff, and I was able to use footwork to get around him and keep tapping him and, you know, doing my thing. So this is not, I mean, look at Tavares when I fought him. That was a smaller cage, but it was a different fighter. This, I don't really think it makes a difference if you just know what you're doing with your feet.
Okay, my understanding was that the government,
not jokes,
they wanted you. Abu Dhabi wanted you. That was a big deal. Did you know this?
First time hearing of it, but I'm not surprised. I'm acquainted with some people over there, so I'm glad they requested me. This is the first time hearing of it. How'd you hear about it?
I mean, they don't call me the nose for nothing, Izzy. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You know? Come on, Izzy. Don't. That's like me saying, how did you throw that lightning quick jab? I mean, come on now, Izzy.
Nose.
Come on, dog. Let me ask you, can I ask about the hair? We went from blonde to pink to now nothing. Why?
Yeah. To be honest, I'll tell you after the fight. It'll make sense after the fight. Oh. But also just, yeah, I know, you know how it is. I can't give you everything. But, okay. You can't dye your hair all the time. I had it blonde and I re-dyed it again and did pink. I like healthy hair. If you dye it too much, it's it's also seeps into your scalp. I don't want that in your brain too much, you know. Also healthy hair. Yeah. So it's just the timing was right.
But there's a like a symbolism to the pink and a symbolism to why you got rid of it altogether.
It shows itself later on. It never, like, some of even the tattoos I get sometimes, like, I'll get them just because I'm like, it looks cool. But then the symbolism reveals itself later on. So I'll reveal it later on when it fully blooms, if you will.
Okay. You had that exchange on SportsCenter with Paulo. What did you make of it after the fact? Were you happy with that?
Yeah, it is what it is. I don't know. It was a bit awkward at first, because even like when they put the thing on, and I don't think they were recording yet, I was talking to him ask him how many times he's been tested, because I got tested, I think, that week twice by surprise. And I was giving him shit, and he was trying to give me shit. And, yeah, I don't know. It was just weird. He's showing me his tits. I don't know. What am I supposed to do?
Is that a legit boys. is that a legit concern for you? Like, do you still feel like, I know you've accused him in the past, but like, do you feel like he's not going to be fighting clean?
It's not a concern, but I've said it even last year when I wanted to fight him. I said it last year. I said, I'll pop him before USADA does. And that grows my legacy even more, if you know what I mean. Okay, the nose, you know. Tell me, what happened to Uriah Hall and Romero?
What happened to Uriah Hall and Romero in terms of why did it get scrapped?
Yeah.
To be 100% honest, I was told Romero got injured.
You were told?
Yes.
By who?
By sources close to his team. By his team.
Okay. Okay. That's very convenient.
What do you think?
Because it never came out on the headlines. It never came out on the headlines that it was an injury. It just said the fight was scrapped, and there wasn't really any reason on any headlines. But if the nose knows, the nose knows.
So you're into the conspiracy theories. You think there's more there?
Bro, if you look under this hat, there's a tinfoil. There's a tinfoil layer.
Can I just say the shaved head makes you look very young?
Everyone says that. I don't know why. Like, it's a thing. Maybe, I don't know.
It's a thing. Well, early in your career, you had the bald head, right?
I did, yeah. I haven't aged much, so I guess so. It does make me feel young, even with the fade. I like the fade, though. I can't wait till it grows back and I can have a little bit of a high-top fade.
But is that part of the symbolism, without looking into it too much? We're going back to the old Izzy, where it's a young Izzy. We're trying to remind everyone after all the flack that you received.
Y'all must have forgot.
Yes.
Like, y'all must have forgot. Like, even in the prep for this fight, there's some techniques, some moves, some styles that I'm bringing back. So yeah, it does. I'm telling you, man, I've said this for how many times? Some Matrix type shit. Like, every time something happens in my life, it represents something in a weird way, whether from the past or something in the future or in the present. And yeah, it does. It is a bit of a throwback, and you're going to see some throwback moves in this fight, I guarantee you.
Ooh, okay. Anything in particular?
Ah, you know, a little one. I'm with some stuff. Yeah, you know, little wrestle. I did some jiu-jitsu back in my day.
You know, I've joked with you because, like, you're so forthcoming and you've always been so open and available to the media. But after the Romero fight, and with your life changing and you becoming such a big star, and congratulations on the EA deal and all that, and you have so much going on, was there any part of you that was like, you know what, maybe I won't, you know, because I remember Connor said it, you know, I'm not going to dance for you guys anymore. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to talk to a million people. Have you reached that point yet to where it got a little bit too much? And especially after some of the criticism after the fight, you're like, you know what, I don't need you people as much as I thought I did.
That's a good question. That's a really good question, Ariel. I haven't gotten to that point yet, but I am more, what's the word? I choose who I speak to more carefully, if you will. Because even in New Zealand, I might have a interview with someone and they have a clickbait headline completely out of context with what I said. And that's happened a few times now. So I just block them in real life, like in Black Mirror. There's some reporters, I don't even know their names, but I don't talk to anymore because they did it one too many times for the clickbait. So yeah, I'm not there yet, but when I am, if you know, you'll know. But I think you'll be all right for now.
For now, what did I do?
I gotta keep you on your toes, Ariel.
Have I pissed you off? Have I pissed you off?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
No.
Okay.
Have I pissed you off? Have I pissed you off?
No, I mean, I keep coming back for more. Here I am for more. But I think one guy who has, or that at least maybe you don't like, is Paulo Costa. Do you like it when it's like this feels personal, right? I mean, would it be fair to categorize it as such? It's not personal.
Not it's not personal, it's just business. But sometimes, I've said this before, it's just some energies don't mix, and that's okay. Like I said, I was interviewing with Brett after he beat Uriah Hall, and he came and stood 6 feet away from me and just stared at the wall so he can avoid looking at me. And he knew what it was. There was no security there. It was just Brett, and Brett can't hold us back. But I wasn't going to do anything. He just had a fight. That would be a sucker move for me to try and jump him or give him shit while he just had a fight. But I remember just staring at him, looking at him, and he didn't want a part of it. So, yeah, it's just sometimes energies don't mix. So you just – it is what it is. You don't have to like me. I don't have to like you. Fuck it. At least we get to fight, and I get to show you.
How do you feel about the fact that every time he does an interview, his coach, Eric Albarracin, is sitting by his side?
That's like that Undertaker shit. Undertaker always had the guy with the urn.
Yeah, Paul Bearer.
That's what he does. Yeah, the Paul Bearer. Yeah. He had that guy. So that's pretty much how I see him.
Okay. yeah. I don't know if you've seen the Fabricio Werdum versus Stipe Miocic fight from back in the day. And when I was talking about this fight, I was thinking, like, I feel like there's a chance that this fight might play out that way, where he comes after you and you're backing up, and given your striking, you can catch him. Correct in that assessment? I mean, obviously it could go a gazillion different ways, but because he also doesn't like you, and there's going to be this like intensity at the very beginning of the fight, you're used to fighting, you know, off your back foot. You're able to counter. Do you feel like the fight will go that way, where he will come at you quickly and there will be an opening there to finish it early?
I think so. I feel so, but not like that, because Werdum hit him with the T-1000, like crazy, stupid punches. And then I was just like, why are you punching like that? I think I'll give Paul a credit. He's a lot more sound than that. But so am I. Is this difference in the levels? But yeah, you're right in saying that's one of the options we have in this fight.
What kind of buzz, what kind of attention are you getting back home? Like, is this fight feel like a bigger deal than the other ones?
Does this fight feel? Nah, not like the Robert fight was the biggest one, like buzz wise back home so far, because it was so close and it was two guys from that neck of the woods. It's hard to beat that. And right now, there's just a lot more happening in the world. But everyone, right now, it's always a buzz in my world, I guess. But I'm talking about the country-wise, the Whitaker fight was bigger. Yeah, just because it was so close to home and it was two guys from that neck of the woods. But yeah, it's still a big deal. And I know next week it's going to even get bigger. Like, the closer it gets to the fight, the hype just builds up more and more and more and more.
You mentioned things going on in the world. We've seen athletes use the platform that they're on, the spotlight that they're in, to talk about racial injustice, social injustice. Do you think closer to the fight, even on fight night, we haven't seen a lot of UFC fighters do it like on the night itself. Do you think that you will do the same? Is this something that you have thought about? Because obviously you've been very vocal about this over the past few months.
Yeah, I was with the George Floyd stuff. The recent killing, I haven't even watched the clip, because I don't want to react. I want to respond, because with the George Floyd one, when I think my speech was like, went a bit out there, but I was really angry. And I think everyone was rightfully so, because it was so blatant and so fresh. And it just seems like it keeps happening. There's like been how many in the last few weeks alone, you know? It's like, yeah, we know about it now. Like, what are we going to do about it? Like, there's... it's time for action. I don't know how else I can like bring awareness. If you're not aware of what's happening right now, fucking hell. But it's time for action, and it's about taking action in your own. Because I can't change the world, Ariel. I'm one man, but I can make changes in my world, you know. And as a black man, I've been doing that all my life, you know, especially in the Western world. So I keep the same energy. I just keep doing what I've done all these years. And educating people, calling people out, shit like that. But yeah, as far as awareness, I don't know what else we can do to bring awareness, because I'm pretty sure everyone should be aware of what's happening right now and should be pissed off. So if you're not pissed off, fucking hell. I don't know what to say to you. Well, I do, but I won't say it on here.
Mm. Yeah, do you regret what you said after the George Floyd
Fuck no. Nah. Okay. I was pissed off. Nah. I was angry. I was really angry. And I expressed my emotions, rightfully so. And yeah, I don't regret. I just, thing is, when a certain narrative gets pushed constantly and it keeps happening, I just have to step back as a person and look back and be like, right, what do they want from us? What are they trying to get out of this? You know, looking into BLM, who funds it, all that kind of stuff. Like, so I have to step back and look and be like, okay, what are you trying to get out of this? So that's why I said with the recent stuff that's happening, instead of reacting, because that's what they want. They want you to react and they want people to go against each other. So instead of reacting, I step back and I look and I respond rather than react. So that's what I'm doing instead.
Okay. Just a couple more.
But fuck no, I don't regret it though. I just, yeah, I was pissed off. And like I said, rightfully so.
Rightfully so. Yep. Absolutely. Did you get a new cat?
No, not yet. I didn't get a new cat. No, my girl did.
Ah, okay. Because... you know,
I saw the new one.
Yes, and I was like, "Oh, I was wondering if you got a new one." I know the loss of your cat really
meant a lot.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Now I wasn't gonna get a new one, but you know, women. But yeah, I'm eventually when I get my compound, like when no one can ever run over my cat, that's when I'm gonna get a new cat. But right now, I'll enjoy hers.
Okay. All right.
Why are you smiling?
No. I mean, looks like a lovely cat. Robert Whittaker is fighting the following month against Jared Cannonier. Would it be fair to say that maybe you're rooting for Jared because that's a fresh matchup for you?
I actually DM'd Jared. I've been following him for a while, but then I DM'd him and I saw like he's being, you know, like, because sometimes I can't see all your DMs because they get pushed into a different folder. Yeah. And I saw he's just been supporting me over the like course of my UFC career. And I just sent him a message. And I was like, bro, thanks so much for the support. Just reading your messages. Like after each win, he was always just showing me love. And I told him, you destroy Robert. Like he's next. I want to fight him next, to be honest. He destroys Robert or makes a statement. You know what I mean? I want him next because that's a really formidable opponent. That's the dark horse in the division. I feel like that'd be some Black Panther versus Killmonger type shit. So yeah, I'm not looking too, you know, too far into the future, but I've set it up already. And I DM'd him this, and he said, "I'm on my way." So that's respect. I love that. And he's such a nice guy. He's always a genuine dude. I met him. I can't remember. I think New York or Vegas, one of the fights. And he's always just been a genuine dude, like real, recognized, real. And I can feel him. Like he's a soul brother. But just because you're a soul brother, you know, brothers fight. And yeah, sometimes little bro got to take a big bro out.
You know, a long time ago, I asked Nick Diaz if he was excited for an upcoming fight. And he got so mad at me. He said, don't ever ask me if I'm excited. I don't get excited for fights. This is not something that excites me.
I think I remember that.
And yeah, I mean, it was an interesting exchange and it always stuck with me. And so I just want to ask you, considering the reaction to the Romero fight, considering how you feel about Costa and the buildup to this fight, would you say you are excited? Is it fair to say you are excited? Or what is going through your mind 10 or so days before the fight? Who is this Israel that we're looking at right now?
Right now I'm calm. I can't get excited just yet because excitement, it fizzles out sometimes. This is a slow cooker, slow burning flame, and you ramp it up, you turn up the heat closer to the fight. So I can see the finish line. I've seen the finish line like a week ago, and I was like, I could get excited then, but if I do, you can burn yourself out. And then I've been here before. I've done this over 100 times. I know how to ramp myself up for fights. I know how to peak just right. And right now, I'm just chilling, man. It's the calm. This is the calm before the storm. But I'm excited at the prospect of punching and kicking this guy in the face. There's so much I want to do to this guy. But like I said, Jelly. I'm just chilling, man. Just to cool my temper real slow.
Yeah, I noticed a couple of weeks ago you said you're fit AF and you might have to pull it back.
Bro, I did 5 rounds today with Eugene on the pads and I think my heart might have like skipped a beat in the 5th round.
Wow.
Like I might have had a little bit of a and it was a pace. It was like, you know, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 2, 3, 4, like a high pace, like fucking Kai was on before me. He was on the pads before me, like flyweight pace. Yeah, I'm fit. There's nothing. And that's one thing you have to understand. You look at Ariel, they see this. I'm still hype. I love it. Don't get me wrong. I love hype. I'm still all hype. But 75-5 in kickboxing, 19-0 currently in MMA, UFC world champion in under 2 years. And they still call me hype. But luckily, I love hype. Luckily, I love hype. I've beaten, he's only beaten two guys in the top 15. Two. I've beaten six. That's triple the amount he's beaten. And I'm still hype. You're lucky I love hype. Like, they're lucky I love the hype, because if not, I'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about? How am I all hype? But I like the hype. I love the hype, and I embrace the hype. So, yeah, it's all hype.
Last question for me, and that was a tremendous answer there. Thank you. May of 2009 was the first time and the last time that two undefeated male fighters.
Oh, UFC 98.
Yes. Lyoto Machida versus Rashad Evans. Where was
Rashad Evans? Yeah.
Israel Adesanya that day. Did you even watch that fight?
I was there. I remember. I was at my friend Hayden Gill, his house, watching it on the projector. And I remember UFC 92, Rashad beat Forrest Griffin. And I've always been a Rashad fan since the Tough 2. When I watched it, I was rooting for Rashad, and then I hated Machida for a while after that. Like, screw Machida. But then I think it was at UFC 104. He fought Shogun, and I had Shogun winning. But then they gave it to Machida, and I was just like, fuck. Yeah. So I was dark on Machida for a few after that. But I'm still a fan. He's cool. He's a respectable guy. I remember. I'm still just a fan, though. It's hard these days because I'm a big boy and I've got responsibilities and I can't watch all the cards. Like, actually, I can't. I haven't even watched the last card, the card before that. It's just because I have responsibilities and I pick fights sometimes to watch. But I'm still just a fan, bro. Still just a fan.
I love it. And here we are 11 years later, just the second time in UFC history, in modern UFC history, that two undefeated male fighters will fight for the undisputed title. And shout out to me, Izzy. I didn't ask you about John Jones. I didn't ask you about Darren Till. I didn't play the usuals. I didn't play the usual hit. How about that?
So I like you. This is why I said I like you.
Thank you.
For now. Thank you. For now.
For now. Izzy, for now, good luck. Safe travels to Abu Dhabi. I appreciate this as always.
Respect. Wow. Peace.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Let's turn our attention over to the co-main event on next Saturday night's pay-per-view, UFC 253 in Abu Dhabi on Fight Island. He is the pride of Poland. He is the man going up against Dominic Reyes for the vacant UFC light heavyweight title. He's the one and only Jan Błachowicz, who's kind enough to join us right now on the program. Jan, how are you?
How are you?
I'm doing really well. Now, I want to talk to you, first things first, about where you are. You're currently in London, in quarantine, correct?
Yes. We arrived today and we're going to stay here 48 hours in our rooms. We cannot move anywhere. So it's going to be boring time. But anyway, I think I need it because the camp was short but really hard. You know, a lot of interviews, a lot of shows I have to make, I have to do, because this is title shot, so everybody will, you know, in Poland, this is a historic moment for us. So it's good for me. Then now I'm going to have, you know, 48 hours time only for me. and for you.
And I appreciate that very much. What do you plan on doing to pass the time? I mean, you literally can't leave your room, right?
Yes. So I'm going to do, you know, I've got book, I've got Nintendo, I've got Netflix, so I'm not going to be boring. I do some, you know, stretching, some light workout, because this is something what I have to do. And that's it. And waiting for the end of the quarantine.
Yeah, and from there, after the quarantine is over, if all goes well, then you fly to Abu Dhabi, correct?
Same. But in the Abu Dhabi, I will be with my coach in the room, so we're going to train a little bit harder, you know?
Okay, that's good. Yeah, that makes a big difference, of course.
I hear that we're going to have a big room with the mat, so we can do our training.
Okay. You mentioned the attention that this fight got in Poland, in your home country. I was going to ask you about that. How big of a deal is this? Are you getting a lot of buzz and attention and interview requests and all that because you're fighting for the belt?
Yes, it's really big. You know, it's really big in Poland. Everybody says that this is the biggest MMA fight in Poland. So,
wow.
When they say that, it's, you know, it sounds really good for me. But first of all, I have to, you know, do my job, best what I have to do. Won the fight, and then I'm gonna be celebrating and happy. Right now, I'm focused only about the Dominic, about the job, and that's it, you know. But yeah, everybody says this is the most important fight in Poland.
Do you remember when you first started dreaming of fighting for a UFC title? Like, how long has this been a goal of yours?
Oh, I don't remember. A couple of years, you know. All my life, I dreamed that I want to be one of the best in the world, you know. So I started training when I was 9 years old. But like a pro, I started training in 2007. I do my first fight in 2007. And for this moment, I start thinking that I would like to be the best in the world in MMA. And step by step, finally, I've got the chance to you know, to be the champion on the biggest organization of MMA.
9 years old. Who introduced you to fighting when you were that young?
My mother takes me to the judo gym.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then you fell in love with it.
Yeah, just watch the guys. They do some, you know, they do some fighting, judo fighting. And I just watch and ask my mother, can I go and train? And she, yes, of course. Why not? Let's go. Let's do this. And that's how it started.
And when you started your fighting career as a pro, obviously Polish MMA wasn't nearly as big as it is today. Who were some of the guys that you looked up to that you tried to emulate and pattern your career after?
First MMA fighter what I see was Igor Vovchanchin.
Mm.
I saw his highlight, and I see my style is completely different, yeah, but I say, whoa, this guy is amazing. I want to be like him, you know. So I think he was the first one, and thanks to him, I am the place I love to fight in MMA. I love MMA, you know. Mm. Because I watch his highlight.
And I would agree with you. I mean, I think as far as male MMA is concerned, this is the biggest fight in Polish MMA history. Obviously, as far as the females are concerned, Joanna Jędrzejczyk, one of the greatest of all time in women's MMA.
She will be always our queen. Yeah.
And she has openly supported you and given you some kind words. What is your relationship like with Joanna?
No, I know Joanna a couple of years. More than 10, I don't remember, maybe 20 years that we know together. I was with her in the Muay Thai national team. So we was a couple of times in, you know, in the some competition. So we know together a long time. I support her always before her fights. She support me. She called to me today with a couple of, you know, good words. So yeah, she sent me a lot of good energy before fights, and this time going to be the same. So Joanna, thank you.
I love that. And correct me if I'm wrong, this is a very exciting time for you, not only because you're fighting for the UFC title for the first time next weekend, but I do believe you're expecting a child as well, correct?
Yes. October, yeah? December. I'm going to be a father.
First so time?
It's an amazing year for me, you know. COVID fucked up this year for everybody, but for me could be the best year in my life. And I believe it's going to be the best year in my life.
Will this be your first child?
Yes, first child.
Wow.
I'm happy and scared, you know, in the same time.
I can understand. By the way, who did you just ask the what month?
My fiance, she's here with me. She also is my manager, so that's why she's traveling with me always.
Oh, wow. Okay, so your fiance is also your manager. She's coming with you to Abu Dhabi. What is that like to have your fiance do your negotiations and whatnot?
Pretty good, you know. She do her job really good. You know, we do this together a long time and work really well. So I'm proud that I have her with me.
That is great. Obviously, a big story going into this fight is the fact that John Jones is no longer the champion. What was your reaction when you found out? Because it looked like he was actually campaigning to fight you for a minute for the light heavyweight title, especially after your win over Corey Anderson. What was your reaction when you found out that he was giving up the title and moving up to heavyweight? Were you ultimately surprised?
No, I wasn't surprised because when he started talking about that he will quit, he will never fight again. Then after that, he started talking that he wants more money. And after that, he started talking that he will go to heavyweight. So that was the time that I started thinking, okay, something is going bad in his head. Something is not good. So I think maybe he will leave the belt. And he did this. So I wasn't surprised, you know.
Were you disappointed?
And I just don't care, you know. I'm happy that I'm going to fight against Dominic Reyes because he almost beat him, you know. So it was really close. He lost the fight, but was like this, you know. And I'm happy that I can fight against Dominic for the belt. And right now, I don't think about John Jones. I don't care about him, but in the future, I will catch him.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So that was a portion of my conversation with Jan Błachowicz. The full interview will be out later this week on the ESPN MMA YouTube page. So definitely stay tuned for that. I'm looking forward to that fight. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of people sleeping on it. And great to see the evolution of his English speaking. He's gotten a lot better. He's improved greatly. So thank you very much to the pride of Poland, Jan Błachowicz. Now, let us change gears. I'm very excited about this interview with Goran Dragic. He is one of the best players in the NBA. He is leading the Miami Heat right now in the Eastern Conference Finals. Like I said, leading scorer after game one, massive win for them with a great block at the end of overtime. They are the darlings of the bubble right now, along with the Denver Nuggets. Let's give a shout out to Chuck Mendenhall's Denver Nuggets. But who would have thought at the beginning of this season that they would be in the Eastern Conference Finals? But don't fret. If you're not an NBA fan, don't fret. This man is a massive MMA fan, and he will surprise you and I think impress you with his knowledge and love and appreciation of the sport that we all love so dearly. So here's my conversation with the dragon himself, Goran Dragic. And now let us head over to Orlando, Florida, and specifically inside the NBA bubble, where it is a massive honor for me to say hello to the starting point guard for the Eastern Conference finalist Miami Heat. The Heat, by the way, who are up 1-0 on the Boston Celtics, the one and only Goran Dragic, who is a massive MMA fan who I've wanted to talk to about MMA for quite some time, but who is in the midst of the Eastern Conference Finals right now. This is amazing stuff for me. So, Goran, thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited. So,
I'm a huge fan of the National Basketball Association and of yours as well. So it's a really big honor, especially in the midst of the playoffs. And I want to talk to you about your love of mixed martial arts. That's I wanted to have you on. But first, I'd be remiss if I don't talk to you about what's happening with the Heat and specifically what happened yesterday. If I would have told you, Goran, back in September of last year, almost exactly a year ago as training camp started, you guys, and I know you wouldn't believe that you'd be playing in the Eastern Conference Finals in September, but that you would make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, that you'd be up 1-0. Honestly, would you have believed me?
No. If I'm honest, no. But, you know, the Heat culture, they always, you know, they're always playing for a championship. Doesn't matter what kind of team we have. And we have a lot of different pieces. You know, we had Jimmy Butler. Then we had Tyler Hero, Kendrick Nunn, and you know, we have all these players who can play, but of course you need to put that together as a team. And you know, we struggled at the beginning of the season, but finally we figure out how to play as a team. And I think so Coach Bo did an amazing job, you know, to guide us.
You have seen a lot in your career. You have been through a lot. Is this the most fun that you've ever had?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. You know, my second year in the league, I was with the Suns. We made conference finals and we lost to the Lakers. You know, Kobe Bryant was unbelievable in this series. And this is probably one of the best years that I was in that I am in the league. You know, I'm having fun. The team is playing well. And, everybody counts us out at the beginning of the season. So it makes even better now.
The team is playing well, but my friend, you are playing well as well. You were the leading scorer last night, 29 points, incredible game for you. And it was interesting because obviously you're on the bench after getting injured and Kendrick Nunn gets a starting spot. And then, you know, he has COVID and doesn't rejoin the team. Can you describe what this year has felt like for you? Like you have the starting spot, you don't. Now you're leading the squad in the Eastern Conference Finals. What are the emotions that you are feeling?
You know, if I go back to the beginning of the season, I had a meeting with Spo, and he told me, hey, G, I think so would be better if you come from the bench. And, you know, I was in shock. I was, you can say, pissed. You know, I had a lot of raw emotions. But in the end, I accept that role because I know I'm not young anymore. I'm 34 years old, and I had a knee injury. So I said, okay, let me just try to be kind of a, focus on the coming from the bench and try to do the best thing that I can do and play basketball. And my goal was to win a six man of the year. Unfortunately, I didn't, but, just my thought process, I was never away. I was always focused on my task and help the team. And I think so that helped me through my whole season.
Everyone's still buzzing over what Bam Adebayo did at the end of the game last night. What is going through your mind as Jason Tatum? Because you look at the photo, it looks like it's going to be an easy dunk and an incredible dunk. Yeah. Do you remember what you were thinking as he was rising up and then, of course, when Bam blocked him?
I mean, I just saw Tatum exploded to go to a dunk, and from nowhere, Bam came and blocked that shot, and it was an unbelievable block. I mean, basically, the ball was all already inside the cylinder, but I don't know how he pulled this off. I was, of course, happy. That was a really huge game for us, especially throughout the game. We were always down double digits, and to come back and win that game is something special.
Incredible. Well, the games have been amazing. And can I just ask you one other basketball question, because we are coming off Game 7 of Clippers and Nuggets. I actually worked a Heat-Clippers game in January. If you'd have told me that the Heat would still be in the playoffs and the Clippers out at this juncture, I don't know if I would have believed you as well. Are you shocked to see them out, and especially after being up 3-1?
I am shocked. Yeah, I am shocked. But Dan, you know, we have to give credit to Denver Nuggets. I mean, even if you go back to the last season, they played two series game sevens, and this season too. So, Jokic is unbelievable. Murray too. Clipper, they just didn't look right to me in this bubble, you know, especially the last few, two, three games. They didn't connect as a team, and I think some Denver took away the momentum and win that series.
I can bother you with a lot of NBA questions, but I will stop here. Maybe at the end I'll ask you a couple more, but now I want to talk to you about mixed martial arts because, Goran, I have to be honest, you know, I noticed maybe a year or so ago, I would, write things on Twitter and whatnot, and you would like it. I'll be like, what? Goran Dragic is liking my MMA tweets. What's going on here? I had no idea you were an MMA fan. So tell me, when did you start becoming a fan of MMA?
A long time ago, basically, when it was a K-1 Grand Prix. My Mirko Krokop Filipovic, he was one of my favorite fighters. You know, and I'm coming from that part of Europe, you know. Back in the day, we were former Yugoslavia, and he was something spectacular to me. How he was, knocking down guys with that left high kick was something that I never, it not only happened once or twice. Basically, that was his signature move, and was crazy. I was always blown away with that move. So,
yeah, I believe it was a right kick cemetery, left kick hospital, right?
Like that. from there on, I just start watching. And then, of course, when Conor McGregor exploded, you know, everybody will start watching me too. But just in general, I'm a huge MMA fan. I love watching those fights, and to all those fighters, you know, heads down, because, you know, to basically to risk your life inside the cage and give everything what you have is something truly amazing to me.
So would you say, like, if you can't watch NBA, obviously that's your job, but you love it as well. Is mixed martial arts your favorite sport to watch?
It's soccer and MMA.
Yep.
Those two sports I watch, I can watch 24/7.
Wow.
Yeah, of course, if, you know, when I'm middle of the season, I try to stay away as much as possible from basketball. You know, not watch basketball so much, so I'll watch UFC and soccer.
I noticed just a couple of weeks ago you were tweeting about UFC 252. You guys were watching it. So are you able to watch the events while you're in the bubble? Maybe you have a lot of free time over there, right?
Yes, yes, we do. You know, Myles Leonard, he's a huge fan too.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, it's a bunch of guys, you know, we usually talk and, you know, before the fight, who you got and who going to win. But usually, yeah, if you have time, we would sit down and watch together.
So who are your guys right now? Like, who are your favorites? When they fight, you have to watch them.
Adesanya. I'm really excited for Adesanya versus Costa. I think so. That's going to be an amazing fight. Then this fight that is coming up, Covington versus Woodley. I think so. That's going to be an amazing fight because, I mean, Woodley, we all know he got that knockout power. And Covington really surprised me when he fought Kari Usman. I mean, I think so they went 5 rounds, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
And man, I was blown away, you know, to be there for 5 rounds with Usman and to, you know, exchange shots, and it's something special. So, and of course, Khabib, I mean, that's the guy that it's unbelievable, you know, to be 24-0. I think so it's 24-0,
if I'm not 28.
Oh, 28-0, it's something mind-blowing to me, and especially how he's crushing all the opponents, putting on the ground and just ground and pound. It's something unbelievable to me.
Okay, so let me ask you, Covington Woodley, who do you have?
Oh, that's a tough one. I'll take Woodley.
Woodley, okay. Even you though he lost 2 in a row.
Yes, that's why I'm taking him, though. Because I got a feeling, you know, he was great. He won a couple of belts and he was defending. But I think so he went away a little bit of his identity, you know. Mm. And now that he lost 2, I think so now he's going to come out and hopefully gun blazing, you know, what he does the best. So.
Izzy Costa, I would imagine you're pulling for Izzy.
Yes, but it's going to be a tough fight. But I have confidence in Adesanya. I mean, he's unbelievable. But, you know, Costa, we all know Costa gonna put everything. I mean, he likes to attack. He likes to fight openly. So that's going to be interesting to me.
And do you think Gaethje has a chance to pull off the upset?
You know what? That's one of those fights that, you know, you're saying, I mean, I've already seen it 28 times and nobody could beat Khabib. But then if I look back how Gaethje fought Ferguson, I was like, whoa, you know, he really dismantled him. I mean, I would not say dismantle him, but, you know, all those 5 rounds, he was the better guy. And, you know, he got a great, I think so his left hook or right. I mean, he's great with hands. Mm. So, you know, the fight starts standing. So he got a chance, but we'll see. We'll see. I mean, I still think Khabib gonna win.
By the way, do you train or have you ever trained?
You know what? I did a little bit back home. I train a little bit, but it's, you know, it's hard off season.
Yeah.
I'm usually more into individual basketball stuff. But cardio-wise, I go into the gym, I box a little bit, but I'm not good at it. So,
I've asked a few players, Darren Williams, Kristaps Porzingis, they all kind of like say they like it, but the teams don't really like if you do that sort of thing, right?
Yeah, you know, it's you know, especially if you are like Porzingis franchise player, that's a little bit different, you know. But yeah, you need to be careful, you know, off season is try to get better on the floor and try to rest recover and be ready for next season. And, you know, for me, I mean, I was always a freelancer. I always tried to play different sports in off-season, playing tennis, soccer. Then, you know, why not boxing too a little bit? So
the reason I asked you that is because, I don't know if you know this, on YouTube, there's like a 3-minute, maybe it's a little longer than 3 minutes, maybe 5 minutes or something like that, but it has around 3 million views, compilation video of you just getting beat up throughout career.
Oh, yeah, I know. Look,
you're a tough guy. Yeah, you can take a punch.
Exactly. I have really high pain tolerance. You know?
Yes.
Because when I was a kid, I did fight a lot when I was a kid, and I was a little bit troublemaker.
But, street fights?
In school. Most in school, yeah. And usually I would get into the, you know, troubles. But after that, when I went to basketball, you know, it kind of changed. But, you know, basketball, it's a little bit physical too at some times. Especially, you know, I'm a point guard, so I need to battle through a lot of screens.
Right.
Those big guys are setting a lot of, you know, tough screens. So, yeah, you know, broke my nose. Got stitches on my eyes, lose my tooth.
Yeah.
You know, just normal stuff.
The black eye from a few years back.
The black eye, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and you've gotten in there with like Jordan Clarkson and DeMar DeRozan, all these guys. Do you think that your love of, like, is there a part of you that's like, yeah, I watch MMA, I could take these guys. What do you think? Like, does it inspire you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. But, you know, some of those guys are big guys, man. I'm a competitor. I'm fearless. I want to win. And I think so that's something that, you know, if we have to fight, you know, why not? I have my man UD in my corner. Udonis Haslam, Mr. 305. So, you know, he's always there to watch out my back.
You also had James Johnson, right?
Yes, correct.
He has a great martial arts background, his family as well.
Yeah, he got a black belt.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think he has 7 amateur fights.
7-0, no?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's a beast. He can do a lot of different stuff. I mean, he's athletic, he's strong, and yeah, he's one of the guys we will hide behind him, you know, if something break.
So what is it like when there's a big fight, let's say like Izzy Costa or DC Stipe last month, does the team
I watch that too.
You guys get together and watch together, or do you watch alone?
No, not the, sometimes together, but not the whole team. Usually it's a few guys, but usually I watch alone in my room. I always watch those fights, and you know, I'm just having fun. I mean, it's unbelievable for me. You know, MMA is, you have to be good at so many different skills on the ground, you know, jiu-jitsu, wrestling, then standing. It's so, if you don't have one thing good, you can get exposed pretty quickly. So that's something that, you know, it's really unique.
Can I ask, what's your favorite fight of all time? Is there one that comes to mind?
I don't remember. I think Cowboy versus, who was it? I don't remember right now.
Okay, I'm putting you on the spot. Cowboy's fighting this weekend, by the way.
I know, Price, no?
Yeah. Man, you really keep up with the news. How do you have time for this? You're in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, but we have a lot of free time, you know, we're in the bubble. So
that's right.
That's going to be an interesting fight too, you know.
Two wild guys.
Yep. And, you know, Cerrone lost a couple of those fights. And
yep.
I mean, he's a beast too, you know, to be that age and to have, I don't know, 50 fights behind him, something like that is something unbelievable.
What about a dream fight, a fight that you want to see happen that we never got to see? GSP, Khabib, something like that. John.
Yes, Jones, yes, that yes, that one, that one.
That one.
Khabib versus GSP. Yeah, I think so. That would be an amazing fight. Probably one of the biggest fights in MMA history.
Yeah,
and you know, so GSP, please come back, man.
There you go. Goran wants you back. The Dragon. What about Conor? Where do you fall on him? Because some people love him, are tired, are disappointed, want him to come. What's your take on Conor right now?
I don't know, man. He's all over the place right now. I don't know if that's true. I just saw some news in France. But I wish he can come back. you know, because he's a tremendous fighter. I love his trash talking. I think so. He's the best in the business. And I wanna see that fight again, Khabib versus Conor.
Yeah.
Why not? I mean, at least if I don't know how many fights he got left on his contract, 3 or 2.
Who, Conor?
Yeah.
He's got, I think, 4.
4 left. So yeah. You know, maybe give him one warm up fight, and then maybe play out that Gaethje versus Khabib, and he maybe fight the loser.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then maybe, you know, the winner of those two. So, and, you know, we have Tony Ferguson here too. I would love to see Conor versus Tony Ferguson.
And I know there's a lot of MMA going on, but do you get to watch other MMA or just UFC? Like, do you watch Bellator as well? Are you that hardcore?
I just UFC. Bellator, okay. I watch a few fights, but I don't watch Bellator so much. The UFC is my main thing right
okay.
now. So, yeah. I just watched the other day, I watched the, what's her name, Karate Cutie versus Hill.
Karate Hottie.
Yeah, Hottie, my bad.
Yes, against
that
Angela
Hill.
That
was a great fight too, 5 rounds. There was, oh man, girls are tough.
They are.
They, it was a close fight. If it go the other way to Hill, I would not be mad either. So.
Right. I scored it for Hill, 3-2. Yeah. It was close. But a great fight. I agree with you. Yeah. Are you getting bored over there in the bubble? I mean, obviously things are good, but like, are you starting to lose your mind a little bit?
Not really. If you're winning, we're okay.
Okay.
You know, I always say if you're winning, the food tastes better. Yeah. You sleep better. Everything feels better. I do miss my family. You know, my wife and my both kids, they're back in Europe.
Okay.
And
they're not coming?
We decided as soon as we went to the bubble that they're going to go back to Europe. You know, my wife, she got more help with grandparents, and the situation over there is a little bit more safer. You know, I'm from Slovenia, it's only 2 million people, so you know, we control the virus a little bit better. So
mentally, has this gone easier or tougher than you thought? Like, just the routine of being in a hotel room every day, same spot, same food, same, being around your teammates, no separation, no family. You know, in June, what were your expectations and how did it play out now, like being there for so long?
I mean, it's tough. I'm not going to lie, it's tough. But at the same time, we are such a close group, close team. You know, we really like each other. We hang out all the time. And I think so that helps a lot, you know, especially, you know, to hang out on a free time. We go play golf, fishing, with Jimmy Butler, we play cards all the time, and you know, just try to, you know, clear our minds, and when it's time for basketball, just play basketball and be ready. But like I said, we all miss our families. That's the biggest part. So.
Yeah, I believe you played golf for the first time in your life in the bubble, right?
Yes, I did. I went first time I went and played 18 holes.
Oh my.
And it was too much. My ball was all over the place. But, you know, I'm happy. I'm happy with the first time. You know, when I'm going to be done, when I retired, I don't know when though, but I'm going to pick up golf for sure.
I don't know if you know this, but my friend Daniel Cormier, he's a very serious golfer these days because he just retired.
Oh, yeah?
So maybe I can get you guys together for a little game.
Yeah. And I heard he got a daughter. So congrats, DC.
Oh man, you really keep up on the news. This is amazing.
MMA, you know, like I said, I'm a huge fan, man. So
I love it. Two last quick questions, if I can. How's the Jimmy Butler $20 coffee? How does it taste?
Awesome. Awesome.
Is he really brewing it there?
Yes, he got everything. You should see that. He got all these machines. People are sending him coffee. he's now making his own T-shirts and. I mean, Jimmy is just unbelievable guy. He's a character. I love him. The best teammates that I ever had. And, you know, he's our leader. And,
yeah.
You know, whatever, we always say we want him to be happy and to do his thing because we're going to follow him.
It's amazing. It's amazing to watch you guys together. It was also amazing to see that photo that you posted of the Balkan brothers. And you
did
very well. You and Jokic and every. I mean, you guys are You guys are killing it. What was that like? You know, you would never be in a situation like this, right? Maybe if you're playing for the national teams, you're around each other, but to be together in these circumstances, what was it like to get, and I'm assuming you did it multiple times, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's great. You know, it's always nice to see those guys, and you know, we share the same culture. We're coming from the same area. And one day we grabbed dinner and basically everybody showed up and we just talked a little. You know, most of those guys, we know each other when we was 14, 15 years old. We play against each other and, you know, we have a good time. One of those nights, basically we were in the restaurant. We had dinner. And after that, we just turned restaurant to a club. And just kind of, you know, listen to the music, having fun. And, you know, you need to relax, too, when you have a day's off. So.
Sure. Any of those guys MMA fans as well?
No, not really.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Jokic like horses.
I heard.
Yes. And, you know, Nikola Vucevic, he's a soccer fan. He likes Juventus. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Luka is my guy. Luka like soccer too, but he's still young, man. He's unbelievable.
Incredible, right?
He was my roommate in the national team. And we had a European championship. We played the finals versus Serbia. And the night before, I couldn't sleep. I was nervous. I was sweating and everything. I looked left. Luka is snoring. He's out. And, you know, then he doesn't feel no pressure. Amazing. He just go out there and plays, and it's unbelievable.
What a joy to watch him, right? To see someone so young, so good. Yeah. It feels like we're watching the beginning of Magic Johnson's career, right? Like that. Exactly. He doesn't get 5 championships. Something went horribly wrong, right?
Exactly. And, you know, he's not fast. He's not athletic, but he plays in his own pace. And he's such a great player. Basically, he can do everything. Mm. And the funny thing, I know Luka when he was 5 years old.
Wow.
I played with his dad. His dad was my mentor.
Oh, wow.
So we would play a game and Luka would be a ball boy, you know, watching our games. And he would always have a sandwich in his hands or basketball ball. And even you know, back in the day, you can see he got a great touch for basketball. So.
That's
and
amazing.
Now he's in all NBA team, first team, so unbelievable.
And you are in the Final Four, my friend, just the second time in your career, like you said. What would it mean to finally get – I mean, you could do it. You guys could do it. Goran, no one believes in you, but now they're starting to believe. I think you're even the favorite going into this series. Now, of course, you're 1-0. Clippers are gone. Bucks are gone. Yeah. In the bubble, right, it's different, right? There's no home court advantage.
Exactly.
It's all equal. You guys could do this. What does it mean to you? What does it feel like right now?
I mean, it means everything to us. You know, the title is for grabs. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I mean, first of all, we only win one game.
Sure, sure.
You know, Boston is the unbelievable team. We need to play even better than the last night. But, yeah, we feel comfortable. We know that we have – enough weapons, enough guys who can play, and you know, we're going for it. So,
well, I wish you nothing but the best, my friend. What a huge, this was a huge thrill for me, really, to talk to you. And I'm so happy for your success, and I'm so happy to hear that you're such a big fan. It was really cool when I started to see you show up on my timeline.
I'm gonna start tweeting to you too. So.
Let's go. I want some more. I know you tweet on Fight Night here and there, but we want more MMA tweets now. And I love your singing of Bad Boys.
I'm bad at singing too. So.
It's good, man. You guys are having fun, and I love how close knit the team is. It's really a joy to watch you guys compete together. So all the best to you. Thank you for doing this, and good luck in game 2 and the rest of the way.
Thank you. I appreciate you for having me, and all the best to you and to all the fans.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Oh, how much fun was that? I could do one of those every single week. Thank you so much to Goran, and good luck to him and the Heat as they try to continue to shock the world and win the NBA title. All right, now time for everyone's favorite segment of the week. It is time for TST's Minimalist Tip of the Week, and as always, it is brought to you by Modelo. Modelo Especial, setting the gold standard for authentic Mexican beer since 1925. Modelo, brewed for those with a fighting spirit.
TST's Minimalist Tip of the Week.
Errol, you accuse me of all the time of spreading minimalist propaganda, and I'm just here to say that you can call it anything else. You can call it, you don't have to call it minimalism. You can call it essentialism. You can call it intentionalism. Whatever it is, whatever you want to call it, all the principles remain the same. And what minimalism is all about is about bringing things, people, actions intentionally into your life. And you got me thinking earlier this week on DC and Helwani as you talked about oat milk, which is of the health variety. So I myself am a very health conscious person in terms of what I put into my body. And one way that I intentionally monitor what goes in and out of my body is another great app. It's called MyFitnessPal. I've used it very much in the past where you just, if you're trying to be more cognizant of your fitness, what you're putting in your body, you want to know more about the foods and drinks and all the calories and all the macro and micronutrients. For all you health nuts out there like me, MyFitnessPal is a great way to monitor it and is a very intentional way of living. So check it out.
I appreciate that. I appreciate the nod about the oat milk. A lot of people have been hitting me up about that. Even Brian Kelleher of the UFC hitting me up about oat milk. And by the way, my wife, Jacqueline, has caught the minimalist bug, and I told her that she did.
Whoa.
Because she's been on this rampage in the house, just getting rid of everything. And it's making me very uncomfortable. I mean, you should see the stuff that she's getting rid of, chairs and desks and all kinds of stuff, not to mention toys and everything. So I don't know. Maybe if she listens to the podcast secretly, she's never told me that she does, like we established on Monday, or watch the fights. But she has definitely caught the bug, whatever that bug is. Not like the bugs that are going around, you know what I'm saying? The minimalist bug. Mm. I just wanna...
Are you going to wish me good luck over these next 2 weeks here?
Good luck with what?
You know, big fight this weekend, then another favorite fighter of mine fights next
weekend.
That's
right.
So
Colby and Izzy, back to back. Yes, this is big. Your two favorites, back to back, who couldn't be any more different. That's why we love you. What an eclectic taste in fighters. Yes, Colby this weekend, Colby versus Tyron Woodley. I know you'll be watching with bated breath. You watched him in December in Las Vegas lose to Kamaru Usman, and then, of course, next weekend against Paulo Costa. It's Israel Adesanya. So good luck to you. I am looking forward to it. Colby versus Tyron this Saturday, 5 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Plus. That's the prelims, 8 p.m. on ESPN Plus. That's the main card. It's Rosh Hashanah as well. So when you're done, you know, celebrating the new year, gather around and watch a little cage fighting. And by the way, again, good luck to the Miami Heat. They return on Thursday on ESPN Radio. Coverage begins at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. Game 2, Heat and Celtics. Continue, please, to download, rate, subscribe, review. Do all the things that you do to support us. Got some great feedback recently about the numbers on this podcast. And it really, 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 really warms my heart that you guys are supporting it. So please continue to do so. It means the world. And I try more than I'd like to admit to continue to raise the bar each and every week. So thank you so much for supporting this show, which means a lot to me. Mondays, of course, with DC and everything else that we're doing here over on the ESPN MMA side of things. For now, I'm out of time. For Israel Adesanya, for Jan Błachowicz, for Goran Dragic, for TST, for all of you, thank you so much. I appreciate you listening, and enjoy the fights on Saturday. Back next week, same time, place, till they say peace. I'm out.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football. and what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.